But what are these bowls of incense? Let me just say it. I'll come back. I forgot that I have to talk about the words of the song. Did you know that your prayers are so important that God keeps them, all of them? Actually, if you compare Revelation 5:8 with Revelation 8:3, you find that there are these large bowls that are in front of the throne of God that the angels are, when they're starting all these plagues and all the judgments, they're going with scoopers and they're scooping out from in front of God these bowls of incense, which it says, which are the prayers of the saints. Have you ever wondered where all your prayers go? I mean, is it kind of like the notes you used to write to your parents that were so special after Sunday school and you gave it to them and they read them and they kept them for a while, but you knew that sooner or later they threw them away? Or all the emails that we send and they go and after a while people empty their bin and they delete them all? No, God doesn't get rid of them. Our prayers are so important, God puts them in this bowl right at his feet of his throne. And he uses them. And I realize now that I'm going to talk about that in chapter 8, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Of what God does with our prayers. But let's look at verse 9. Because it says this, and they sang a new song saying, and now as that chart I showed you, this is one of those worship things. And this is the song that the redeemed are saying. You are worthy to take the scroll. You opened its seals, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. See, angels aren't redeemed. Remember what Paul said? He said, which things the angels desire to look into. They can't understand why God is doing this for us. They've watched us. We're rebels like the fallen angels. But he chose to redeem us. So, you have redeemed us, the saints say, by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to God, and we shall reign on earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and number them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying, you notice it changed. When all of a sudden the angels get in, they stop singing, and they start talking, because angels aren't allowed to sing. Yeah, interesting. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who is slain, and on, and we know that so well. Okay, number 5 observation. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. These are the words of the first song we see ourselves singing in heaven. We're singing about the redemption that Christ offered and performed for us. The song of our redemption, we who were slaves to sin, we who were sinners, were purchased by Christ's blood. God so loved the world, he gave his son to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to pay the price of our sin. Amen. My pillar, John, right? Ah, my quiet man, I like that. Number 6, heavenly worship centers on Christ's sacrifice to redeem us. You know, I think we don't think about redemption enough. Basically, I don't have my pen. I usually have a pen right here. But when I was a youth pastor, I used to always have my pen right here. And I would always illustrate the 3 great doctrines of salvation, because kids need illustrations. I say, this is you. This is you, dead. See how you're laying still? And redemption is when Jesus Christ came to the slave market of sin, grabbed you, purchased you, justified you. See, justification means we have a correct standing with God. We're no longer, he doesn't see us down there like we are. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know that verse. Now watch what happens. What's that doctrine? Sanctification. The God who redeems justifies. He makes us saints in God's sight. He sees us with Christ's righteousness. But he's holding us and has a purpose. God himself, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and may the very God of peace sanctify you completely. Now watch, this is sanctification. of our lives. I don't know about your life. I'll show you mine. And God keeps pulling and pulling. Who's resisting this process? Wouldn't it be better if we just really did that Lord's Prayer thing and said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I would like your kingdom to come right now with me. And I want to serve you like they do in heaven. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done right here where I am, like you are in heaven." There's a great group that goes out doing revival services all over the country. And the Life Action, I think it's called, they're based near one of the places I pastored, and I used to love having them come to our church because they really preach up the storm of the gospel and dedication to the Lord and everything. And then at the front, they have one piece of white chalk they've put out on the front, enough for every single person in the audience. And they buy a lot of chalk, and it's just all the way across the front. And they say, if you have listened and agreed to what we've talked about the kingdom of God coming and you wanting to seek God's control, then take your piece of chalk, and as you're, before you run off and forget everything from church on your way to lunch, go out to your car, and before you get in the car or whatever you're riding, you know, your bike or whatever, take your piece of chalk and draw a circle on the ground and the pavement. Step inside the circle, and before you leave, just say, "Lord, I want every day to say, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life." In other words, I'm surrendering, I'm yielding, I'm offering myself. Do you know what I used to love as a pastor? You know, pastors are usually the very last person to leave after the last person with the last need. You've talked to them and prayed and counseled and answered the questions and everything else. I always would send Bonnie and the kids on to wherever we're going next, because I would always be an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes, till the last one, because you talk to everybody in need. But you know what I used to love after they were at our service? The parking lot would be empty. And I would just walk around. It still does it. I could cry thinking about it. I would look and I would see everywhere in that parking lot circles. And I thought, what is God going to do with a group of people if they really keep that up? Now, you know what I've done, and Bonnie knows this. One of the things I've decided to do is when I get out of bed in the morning, I scooch to the edge so I can, you know, fall off with a thud. And I come off, and when I go boom, I pause right then when my feet hit the ground. I did it this morning, 5:03 a.m. I said, "Lord, give me another day to live. I would like to live redeeming the time for you today." Now, I didn't use my chalk. I've stopped using chalk. It's kind of hard. Word of Life would wonder why all these circles are all over the speaker's cabin. But think about it. Okay. We who were slaves to sin and lost sinners were purchased from Christ's blood. You all know what 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 say. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God? You're not your own, you're bought at a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God with your body and your spirit, because you belong to God. Number 6, heavenly worship centers on Christ's sacrifice to redeem us. And so what I thought we would do is, now we're going on 2 field trips in this class. If, you know, if you're with at Jeju in Korea, you go to the Holy Land every year, in Thailand or whatever else they do. But in my classes, our field trips are, in chapter 4, we all stand in front of the throne and pray to our Father in heaven. And in chapter 5, we do this. Let me read it to you. The doctrine of redemption means. Now, remember I told you that it deepens things if you hear something, if you see something, and if you, on top of that, say something. Now, what really increases it is if you write something. I mean, you know, if you use all possible mechanisms. But to help you remember redemption, the doctrine of redemption means, and I'm going to go through 8 verses of what the doctrine of redemption means. And that's why I'll read the verses in yellow that are coming. then all of us together are going to read aloud the words in red. So what the Bible does is it talks about the impact of this. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. Jesus redeemed me, justified me. And every day he's pulling me closer and closer to him. What I just said is an idea. You know, and it's out there floating. And some of you are remembering it. Some of you are thinking about other things. And some of you are trying to write something down. But it's just out there, an idea. And how do you apply that? So I thought I'd take you on a field trip and show you. So I'm sorry, we have to do it again. I know it takes so much trouble. You have to close everything and everything. But let's stand again. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start. This is the first one. I'm going to read the yellow. And then together out loud. And I want you to think about what you're saying. The implication. Did you know this is so much fun. I feel like I'm back at all the churches I pastored. Did you know I made all the people always do this? They never knew what was happening on Sunday. They didn't know if they were going to have to stand up. We would sing hymns right in the middle of the service when it was applying what we just learned. And it was amazing. By the way, from that church, we had so many people that went into ministry. I mean, I think the Lord got a hold of a lot of their hearts. And I think part of it was the truth of God went from being, you know, that was a great idea, to, whoa, I just said that. And you think of the implications. Okay, so Romans 3:24, I'm going to read, and then we'll together read that top big part. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Number one, here we go. Jesus destroyed the record of my sins. Do some of you really feel like saints? If I walked right up to you and said, hello, Saint Kodak Film. Hello, Saint Puma, you know. They have words on their shirt. Hello, you know, Word of Life. If I called you saint, would you go? Try it sometimes. I go to people, I say, hello, saint. And most of them take it. And they'll quickly say, no, I'm not. Why do we do that? We don't feel like it. We know us. But that's what Satan capitalizes on. What's he called? The accuser. And what he does is he says, I'm trying to think whose name I remember. I only remember John's name over there. You know, because he's the last one I met. He says, John. And he reminds us of our sins. That's Satan's job. He's the accuser. Do you know what Jesus said? I've destroyed the record of your sin. I actually don't know that he's committed that, because God already punished me like I did. And I took the punishment and the record. The more you understand justification, the more boldly you'll walk through life. Overwhelmed. That's why in heaven we just can't stand still. We keep falling down. Okay, number two, I'm going to read mine. We'll go much faster. Some of you are going to pass out. You haven't stood this long in ages during class. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Number two, Jesus is all I need. If you really believe that, if someday you get thrown into jail, if someday you're separated from everybody you know and love on some Patmos thing, what they try and do is break you down and get you to deny Christ. Did you know what? He's all you need. You don't need your phone. Now, I know that's a little scary to some of you. You don't need your phone. You don't need that car that's so important you name yourself after it. I mean, on the roll. You don't need your girlfriend or boyfriend. They're nice. And your husband or wife are nice. But the only thing you need forever, you already have. Jesus. He's wisdom and knowledge and sanctification and redemption. Okay, number three. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Number three, I belong to God. I won't even comment on what that means. Do you think God would take something that he owns and take it to certain places and do certain things with it? Do you think God would do that? You belong to God. And your body is his mobile temple. Do you think God's temple should go certain places? Very interesting. Number four, Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Number four, all my sins are forgiven forever. Don't let Satan accuse you. Next one, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Number five, I am God's workmanship. Did you know every unchangeable thing about you, the way you were born, what family you're in, what you look like, the things you can't change even with all the cosmetic surgery that's possible, the things you can't change, the unchangeable features of your life, your parents, where you started in life, everything else, God picked all that. Yet most young people spend so much energy trying to not be who and what God put them into. And he did all that intentionally. There's something only you can do. And that's why he puts you in that family, in that place, as that person. Number six, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Number six, God will finish what he started in me. Remember, he's going to keep pulling. Number seven, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Number seven, I am set free from any bondage so I can be zealous for God. The righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked run when no one's chasing them. There's holy boldness Christ offers, that you can look anybody in the eye and confidently share Christ. And here's the last one, then you can sit down. You guys are so good. If I could give out extra credit, I would give it out, but I don't know how to do that. But here we go. I'm going to read Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Number eight, I will worship the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated.